When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Black Girls Living. You're joined with Vic,
Jasmine,
and we've got an amazing, amazing guest in the building. Can you intro yourself, darling?
My name is Shay Universe. I'm a singer, songwriter, and businesswoman.
Oof. The voice already. She's not even singing yet. Smooth.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this beautiful day.
So absolutely. Funny.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. We know you've had a busy, busy week slash month release of the new album.
Congrats.
On Valentine's Day. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I was going to ask about that. Are you a lover's girl? Well, obviously. But are you branded a lover girl? Because V-Day drop.
I know. I feel like I am. Mm. I feel like I am branded like a lover girl. Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Cute.
And the album's name, Love's Letter. So tell us about that. Tell us about the new album, what people can expect, and what vibe is it giving? Because it kind of gives me, you know, like Sunday, warm Sunday, going to meet your man, getting ready, jump in the shower, come out, the oils, butters.
Hey. Carry on.
I'm so done. Love's Letter. So the project explores a journey of love. It touches on all the different types of love that we encounter in this life, whether that is romantic love, whether that is self-love, whether that is God's love. I take you through a journey of starting off from a place of wholeness, which I believe everybody is born into, in terms of when you're born, when you're a baby, you are innocent. Life hasn't had the chance to show you anything other than what is pure when you start out. And then you go through life and you experience relationships and you just go through things that may taint your view of love and also taint your view of yourself. And then it returns back to a place of, I guess, like self-rediscovery, but from a more whole place, from an elevated place. Now you know your boundaries. Now you know yourself more. Now you love yourself more. That's kind of the journey that it takes you through. And in terms of the vibe, like sonically and just like, yeah, more so sonically and the feeling I tried to evoke with my beat choices, my writing style, the cohesiveness of the story. I definitely feel like it gives like modern day Lauryn Hill vibes, like, you know, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. It's very like reminiscent of the India REs in ways as well. So I feel like it's definitely important and needed in this time to just bring back real music from the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who is the person speaking on the first track?
That's my mother.
Love
my
it.
My beloved mother.
Love it.
Did she know she was going to end up on the album?
She didn't. She did not know. She didn't know when the conversation was being recorded. Like, she didn't know anything. But she was super excited when she found out, like, when I told her.
How was that day? So was she just speaking to you from the heart? Because she was saying some things.
She was saying some things,
and you just
record,
but you're like, oh, shit, this is a moment. I should record it.
Honestly, it seems so random, but, like, me and my mom, we have heart-to-hearts all the time. So, like, I just happened to catch those gems, but she literally like pours her wisdom into me as often as we can, you know? And this particular day, I don't know why I recorded. Like, it wasn't at the point where I started recording, we hadn't even gotten to the super prolific gems yet. It was just like, oh, let me just record this conversation. Yeah. I don't know. It sounds so, I don't even know, honestly. But now I do, obviously. So certain times you don't really understand exactly why you're doing something in the moment. But I just slapped on record and then it's just like everything else just seamlessly fit together.
I love when artists do that. Like, have you seen any other artists do it that has inspo on you? Because I love it. SZA, her grandma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Ariana Grande, I think her grandma as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the grandmas are like subtly dragging you, like, And it's and the words that they're saying is
dragging
so,
you.
Yeah, but it's like the words they're saying is just like, no, like I needed to hear this. Really, really beautiful. And I love that you have that the intro to just like kind of hit us.
Thank you.
But how was it just recording the whole thing, like putting it all together?
It was a process. So like I wrote all the different songs at different points. All of them were written in the span of a year, apart from the intro. The intro I wrote like in 2018 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Initially with the plan for it to be the intro to a project I was working on at the time, but it just didn't work out. And then years later, I just always knew I wanted that to be the intro to a project. And then it just, you know, made sense. But in terms of the recording process, a lot of the songs were recorded in LA. Were a lot of them? Some of them were recorded in LA.
We're losing our recipes.
The girls are going.
The girls are going.
I mean, yeah.
No, fair. Do what you gotta do.
Listen, I mean, the thing is, right now, my goal is to break the US anyway, to be fair.
Amen.
You know, to break that US R&B scene. So, yeah, I feel like it's coming. It's on its way. But yeah, the recording process. Some was recorded in LA. Some was recorded in London. Some were recorded in London. And it was just kind of like, again, just like seamless. I didn't have a premeditated idea of what this project was going to be until like it just created itself, basically. You know, I knew I wanted to create a project that had a cohesive story, but I didn't really know what it was going to be until it started to play out. And then in the midst of the process, it was like, ah, oh, Love's Letter, you know, and the pieces put together. So it was very organic.
Is a lot of it from personal experience?
All of it is.
All of it. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's like a diary in a way.
Exactly. Wow. Love's Letter. Yeah. See what I did there?
Artist. Are there any standouts for you then personally? Like, do you have your favourites from the album? I mean, obviously all of it, but...
I feel like my answer to this question is going to be different every single time they see a new like interview or something come out of me, because I keep changing my mind. But I think today, What's Love is still up there for me.
What's Love is still up there. Personal favorite. Yeah.
It's your favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wow. My personal favorite. Okay. Yeah, I love What's Love. Mm. I feel like More Than Enough is also up there for me as well. And I think, let's do top three. The third one, I would say, as of right now, it's changed from yesterday, you know, because yesterday I had a different top three, but I'm going to say 08.
08. No, fair enough. Solid. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about your recent trip to New York?
Oh, yes, girl, I can.
Share the tea.
That trip was... probably the best trip of my life, actually. When I really think about it, I've never been in this, like, place in my career before. This is by far the furthest along I've ever been, you know. I believe that I'm on the cusp. I really do believe that I'm literally at the tipping point. You know, there's so much more to come. So many exciting things in the works. And that trip was, like, the... like the realization of how close I really am, you know. That trip was like, you're actually, stardom is within reach, you know. You're right there, you can touch it, you can taste it, you can smell it. It was crazy. I had like a full press run, shout out to my team at the Orchard. I have like a US team that basically worked to put the whole press run together. They packed up my schedule. They made sure, like, as soon as I landed, I was doing interviews. I was doing round table talks. I had headline shows. You know, I was busy, but it didn't feel like work necessarily because I was just doing what I loved. I was with people I loved. It was so crazy, but it really put things into perspective and, like, it made me realize, honestly, like, I was born to do this, you know? Yeah.
And you can see it, literally what you're saying is like what your mum was saying in the first track. Like, she was saying, like, success, like, you're successful. She was saying more success is on the horizon. I remember she was saying that. I was like, so sweet and adorable when someone else sees it for you and that encouragement. Can we take it back to that, like, when it all started for you? Like, what was the song that kind of catapulted, that made it all, like, captured everyone's ears? For me, it was, I don't want to sing because it's inspired by that garage song.
You Lose.
That's it.
Okay.
And I heard that in lockdown. Yeah. Who is this?
That was a song for a lot of people, actually. But there was one song that came before that that was like, I guess, my first mini breakout. And that song was called No Stalling. Okay. No Stalling was the first song that, like, I think just started to get me a certain level of attention or visibility that was higher than anything I'd reached before. And then following that was You Lose. Yeah, so that was like the next step up. And when that song broke me out, that really established another level of like, okay, a lot more people know who I am, know my name, know my face now. So yeah, I would say No Stalling and You Lose were the two like breakout songs.
And how did it feel when you were like, oh shit, people know who I am, people are listening to my music? How did that feel?
It was more of a... because I started with covers, right?
Okay.
I started off doing these covers on Twitter. This was back in like 2013, 14, 15. And I would not be showing my face. It would just be really? From like my neck down. Just singing my favorite songs. This is like Baby Baby Shay. I was super innocent, didn't know nothing about the industry, right? And those covers would go viral. So I already was... I was already somewhat accustomed to people like knowing of me or being in conversation. But what I wasn't accustomed to is people putting a face to my name and actually like knowing me, the person, like, you know, or the artist rather. So that was definitely, it was a relief because, you know, at some point I was a bit worried, like, am I going to just be the girl that's just like the girl that does covers on Twitter or associated with just covers, you know? So we've come a long way. We've come a long way.
Wow. Journey. I mean, and what would you say your experience is now? Because especially you're saying that you felt this sort of amazing reception in the US and everything, but how is it when you're in the UK? Do you feel like, ugh, like, is it kind of like, because obviously we always have that conversation now. They say R&B is dead. How does that make you feel?
That statement can never be true. Like, I'm just going to start by saying that. That statement can never be true. R&B can never die. Because, first of all, we have all the timeless classics already that are going to forever last. And then, again, we have new gen R&B artists, but there's so many of us out here that are making real quality music. You know, I think people are just quick to just say that because they're not really listening. They're not really, they are holding the standard of R&B to what's mainstream.
Yeah.
But mainstream music is not always necessarily the best music out there, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you really want to find quality music, you have to actually go and like search for it yourself. But I feel like I went on a tangent there. What was the question you asked me?
Sorry, I basically did ask two questions in one. So sorry for that. I was kind of asking about the difference between the reception in the UK and the US.
Yes. So I can't completely slander the UK because I have my community there. And that is literally what has kept me afloat. That's what's made me what I am today in the UK, in the R&B space. And I love everybody that supports me and I appreciate them. All the platforms, all the individual supporters. Love you guys. I think the issue with the UK comes once you get past the community and then you start to look at the infrastructure of the actual industry and, you know, the people who have the power to allocate budgets and decide what is pushed to the forefront, to decide what is invested in, really invested in and pushed. Like, they're not trying to hear it. Realistically, I'm going to keep it a buck. They are not trying to hear it or invest or really put their money where their mouth is because they don't know what to do with artists like me. And, you know, it's not ideal. I would rather it not be that way. We still have a long way to go. But it's also not the end of the world because, okay, cool. If you don't know what to do with me, somebody else will. And it seems like America does know what to do with me. So I'm, you know, taking that route and I'm sure everything will eventually come and meet up. But yeah, I think that's mainly what it is. But again, every single great person that I've studied, that I've watched, I, you know, listen to their interviews and stuff, it's like they always have the story in one way or another of like not being understood. Like, you know, at some point I gave you all of this on a plate and you made me feel like this wasn't enough. But to somebody else, that's a gold mine, you know? So you have to just go where the love is.
Definitely. And I guess, does that mean there are more US trips on the horizon?
Oh, absolutely. You guys have no idea what's on the horizon, but very exciting things. Very, very exciting things. There's things, girl. I can't even say it to you guys.
You guys can't see, but her tea was smoking. The tea is hot.
Yeah, the tea is piping hot.
Damn.
It's piping hot. But yeah, it's just, I'm just excited and I'm grateful and I'm happy with the pace that everything is moving. Mm. Like, I wouldn't have had things happen any other way, you know?
No, God is good.
Yeah, I love that for you.
God is good.
What I want to ask you then, are there any artists that you would love...
Oh my God, I was going to ask this. Yes, yes, yes.
That you would love to work with. Sorry, your eyes are saying so much, but so little.
Any artist I would love to work with. I always say this artist, Brandy. She's up there on the list.
Oh, wow, yes.
Would love to work with Brandy. That would literally like make my whole life. Who else? There's a lot of people on the list and it changes a lot as well, actually. But I think I would love to work with Frank Ocean. I know that's he's more of a rare one, but I feel like, yeah, if I got a chance to make music with him, it would be beautiful. I would actually love to make a song with Thames, you know?
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like our vocal tones would complement each other a lot. And I think most recently I was talking with like my team about this. I would love to have a song with Kate Renata.
Okay.
Yeah, I would to have a song with Kate Renata.
Need that. Yeah.
I feel
the team, please.
I feel like that whole like house dance, like that's a sector that I definitely wanna dabble in at a time.
And also your music, like, I love that you mentioned Brandy, because like, I love when the girls, like, I love when I hear the inspo and I'm like, yeah, you look like you were revising, you were learning. I can tell. Who else is your inspo? I'd love to know.
A lot of just like old school, more so old school people. So I would say like again the Lauryn Hills, Erykah Badu, D'Angelo, Indiari. I used to listen to a lot of Anita Baker. Growing up with my mom, and she used to love like the Whitney Houstons as well, like Mariah Carey, like those kind of singers. But my direct influences, yeah, definitely more so the D'Angelos and the Lauryn Hills. Yeah.
But so that was what you heard in your household growing up?
I think what I predominantly heard in my household growing up was like African praise, number one, because I was born in Nigeria and then I moved to London when I was 4 years old. So even though I was super, super young, I still like remember the feeling, like the atmosphere of the household. And it was a lot of gospel, like African praise, praise and worship. And, you know, that's different to the gospel that we have in the Western world. Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah. So there was that. But then there was also the ballad singers. Yeah. So like the Anita Bakers and that whole Barry White and everything like that. So, yeah, it was a mix. But even though that's what I grew up listening to, I feel like what directly influenced me was more so my personal taste in music. So when I got old enough to actually start discovering artists for myself and just finding what I like and what I don't like.
Beautiful. Let's talk about Baby Shay a bit.
Okay.
So getting into like, so when did you know I can sing?
When was that moment?
Because you know, sometimes I don't know if anyone's had this. Well, obviously not you, but
yeah, not the pros.
You know when you record yourself because you actually think I can sing.
No, we all have it. We've all had it. Trust me. We've all.
You record yourself and you're thinking, let me hear this fire, and then when you hear it back, you're like,
are you sure? Let me try again.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And honestly, singers are no different. Like, we all had to start somewhere. Though I've always had like a natural flair for singing, I haven't always sounded like I do right now. Like, I had to, my voice has definitely developed. It's definitely matured. It's definitely become more refined, you know, from like a couple years ago. And that question is such a funny one. Like, when did I realize, like, damn. I'm actually shitting on these people. Like, I can. do you know what? Funnily enough, yeah, I feel like I only really, really, really realized that probably as of like a year ago.
What?
Very recently.
Girl.
Yeah.
A year.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think for a very long time, my humility cloud was so. No. Deep-rooted that it clouded my perception of myself. I think creatives, as creatives, we are all perfectionists to an extent, yeah, but there's levels to it, right? And I feel like humility is a great thing. I feel like it's great to be humble. I feel like it's essential to be humble in life. But there is such a thing as being so humble that you don't recognize your worth, or you're now coming into rooms not understanding that you also take up space. Mm-hmm. You're not just a person that's just there, like happy to be there. Like there's a reason why you're there. Mm-hmm. I struggled with that for a very long time. And it's literally as of last year, it's still a process. I still have days where I'm like fighting the imposter syndrome, as we all do. But yeah, it's probably only as of last year that I really realized, like, hold on, sis. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to be breaking your back to get into these rooms, because mm-hmm. you are an asset too. Mm-hmm. You add value to any room you step into. Mm-hmm. So take time. You know, all the connections you're desperate to make now are going to come. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was like it was just a mindset shift thing. And I feel like when that mindset shift happens, it just makes you a lot more relaxed in life, you know, because you're not desperately chasing now. It's almost like you're just working and waiting.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any like competitions at school or anything?
Yeah, I did.
Did you sing?
Yeah, man. I was in all them talent shows. Like, I'm sure there's probably footage somewhere. Aww. Like if I go back to like my high school or something. But yeah, I was in all the talent shows, boy.
Yeah, because one thing about a British school,
yeah, you're gonna
once sing. They find out you can sing,
man, they're gonna rinse it. They're just gonna milk
that's
it for
your
all
brand.
It's worth.
Yeah. Was that your brand like growing up? Like,
I went through different phases. Mm. So like, first I was an athlete.
Oh really?
I was an athlete. Okay. Yeah, from really young. I think probably from like the age of, I don't know, like 12 to like 17 or 18.
What was your sport? Sprinting.
I did 110 meter hurdles and high jump.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been tall for a very long time. Like, I'm 6 foot now, and I think I grew like an inch in the last year. But prior to that, I was 5'11" for like, I don't know, 8, 10 years. Yeah, so I've been tall for a very long time. So yeah, I did 110 meter hurdles and I did high jump, and then that kind of came to an end. And then when I really started focusing on like performance and more music, so my university degree is in American theatre, which is more so primarily focused on acting, actually acting for film, acting for theatre. And I thought following graduating university, I would go into that. Mm. But then music just took me where it took it.
Would you ever get into acting?
Absolutely. I would love to like feature in like a film or even have my own little short film or something, or intertwine it into my music videos or something. Mm-hmm. You know, I definitely want to like work that muscle again.
Mm-hmm. What kind of acting would you do? Would you kind of do like stuff like Insecure? Would you want to do like crime? Would you want to do, you know, romance? Would you write a song for a romantic comedy? I think we need to bring them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm in a stage right now where honestly, I'm just trying to set myself up where all the syncs just come flying in. Like, make music that is palatable and universally palatable. So it can be used in rom-coms. It can be used in, you know, different kinds of things. But I feel like if I would love to act in like an Insecure. Oh. What? Mm. What? That was slap. I would love to act in something like that, for sure. A romantic film, I would love to do. I would even be open to acting in like something that tells like a black story, like a black historical story, you know? Yeah.
Tyler Perry?
I don't know about that.
Oh.
No shade. No shade. No shade, but yeah, I don't know about that.
Did you find
that was me being a setup?
Did you watch?
So you set me up. You set me up.
Did you watch? Have you seen the film, the latest one?
No, I haven't. You know, have
well,
you?
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
Well, 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10.
6 out of 10.
Fair.
Have you seen it,
Victoria?
Hello.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
I haven't, but I've seen,
you've seen
all
enough.
I needed to see. Yeah, I've seen all I needed to see.
Enough.
Yeah. Anyways. Well, yeah, I'd love to see you do that. I'd love to see that for you.
Let's see how it goes.
I feel like there's so much tea. But we just have to find out when we find out.
Yeah. I'm just saying, let's see how it goes, guys.
God's blessing, because it feels like there's so much. We can't know right now, but that's fine. That's fine. We're gonna watch the journey. We're gonna see it all. Have you got any festivals? Royal Albert Hall. Am I saying that right?
Ma'am.
Talk to us. Talk to us.
So that was for International Women's Day. Yes. It was a joint event between Mixtape Madness and this platform called The Debrief. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they had Shah Simone come out, open the night. Then they had a panel talk with like, I think, five women from the industry that are doing really well for themselves. And then I closed out the night.
Gosh.
It was a wonderful time.
How was that experience?
It was a great experience. I think what made it extra enjoyable for me though personally was having my people there with me. You know, that was the thing that like made that experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a good time. I had fun.
That's beautiful.
Do you still get those sort of jitters or nerves before you perform? Or does it kind of feel second nature now?
I definitely do still get jitters. I do. I don't think I'll ever not. Mm. Just because, number one, I'm so passionate about what I do. And I think whenever you're passionate about something to a level, you always want to be good at it. You always want to be, you know, do your best. And so naturally, there's always a bit of nerves that come with that. But then also, like, outside of my artistry, I am shy. People don't know this, but I am a shy babe. Yeah.
Do you think that people don't believe it or see it when you, because you're an artist and you do?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They feel like, they just associate artists with just being bold and upfront.
Confident.
And in your face all the time. Yeah. And I feel like because I have been doing this for a while, I've become accustomed to it. And I now know how to, like, you know, comport myself and carry myself in public. And I know how to, like, poker face even when I do feel nervous. Wow. But it's still a real thing, you know. I still have my whole own, like, personality that my family and my friends know, which in ways is quite different to the performer.
That must be so difficult, like, being shy but also knowing that, like, I have to be the center of attention, like, kind of no matter what.
It has been very difficult, actually. Yeah. It has been very difficult because it's definitely an adjustment.
Mm.
But what I'll say to that is, like, when God blesses you with a gift, I feel like God also equips you with what you need to step into that gift. You know what I mean? And so it has been a process, but I was always going to arrive at this point. I was always going to become this woman, be this woman. There's still more for me to do, but it's like, the same way that he imparted what he's given me is the same way that I will always and forever have everything I need to be able to, like, spread this gift to the max. I believe that. I really do. So, yeah, it's a process, but just got to take each day.
Yeah. And I did want to ask, actually, when you were speaking about imposter syndrome and how you kind of overcame it in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do that? Because there's going to be a lot of people listening that have experienced the same thing, imposter syndrome, whether it's in their job, whatever it is. How did you get there?
So number one is your self-talk.
Mm.
Like, all the conversations that go on in your mind, every single thing, like, being so conscious and intentional about that. So you'll be surprised when you really start to pay attention to your thought patterns. You'll be surprised at how many times, like, a negative thought pops into your mind, whether it's about you, whether it's about something else, whether it's about your life, your circumstance. Mm. Like, our minds are always going so fast, especially with social media now and all these things we're being fed, right? So it's being super intentional and conscious about what you're thinking about, what you're telling yourself daily. It sounds like such a small and minute thing, but those small thoughts are what build up your whole entire reality, how you perceive life, how you treat other people, how you perceive other people. Mm. Because a lot of the time, people that aren't happy in their lives or aren't happy in themselves project a lot of things onto other people, right? So it's from the inside out. So that's the first thing, your self-talk. The second thing is throwing yourself into, obviously, calculated risks. Don't just be out here just like living life on the edge with no kind of plan or sense of direction. But the only way you can learn to trust yourself more, the only way you can actually believe you are that girl and you're capable, is by showing yourself that you are that girl and you're capable. I want to do this. Okay, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it well. And when I'm done, I'm going to feel good about it because I said I was going to do it and I saw it out. You know what I'm saying? And I proved to myself that I'm worthy. That's the only way you can really, like, build a belief in yourself. You got to do the thing and continuously just take the risk and, you know, challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I guess moving back into sort of the industry, are there any like challenges that you've experienced that have sort of been learning curves at the stage that you're at now?
I've experienced so many challenges, from financial challenges to, you know, my personal life just going crazy whilst things are still happening professionally, to then even industry things where it's like people just not putting respect on my name. For a very long time, people would treat me as though like they understood, wow, this girl's got something, but I didn't have the respect yet. I didn't have the credentials yet. And so people would just treat me like, yeah, I want your gift, you know, do your backing vocals or whatever on my track. But don't, you know, no credit, no nothing.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, that was a stage where I was going through all that stuff. And honestly, it's a blessing to be able to reflect back now and be like, wow, those people that just took the mickey, I'm in the same rooms as them now.
Wow.
Holding the same exact space, you know? And it's like...
But also, how wicked can you be that you don't want to... I hate when I hear stories like this, that... You'd want to be so wicked that you'd be like, no, I'm not giving them credit. Why?
I'll be real with you. It's mainly rappers. I don't know why. It's just a thing.
I know you didn't sing that. I know as a rapper, you didn't sing it. So who sang it? Why are you doing that? It wasn't you.
I can't tell you. I don't know what it is. I think it's just like, it's just an industry thing. It's so weird, but it's mainly just like a rapper thing to just feel like, you know, use a singer for your track. And instead of treating them like an actual artist, they're kind of just treated like a backing vocalist or a session singer. Yeah, we have a long way to go, but it's cool. I mean, it's not cool, but, you know.
Damn. Yeah, ratings to you. I don't know. Because I could imagine you're probably one like, you know when I see people, like Ray's story, and she came out on Twitter and I was like, she's been sitting on that for a long time. Even to push that tweet button, she's probably like shaking. But gosh. Yeah, massive respect to you.
Thank you.
I can't even imagine how frustrating that would be when people aren't respecting you. But as you said, you're sitting in the same room as them.
This is what I'm saying. Shoulder
to shoulder, we're all colleagues.
This is what I'm saying. And this is why you just have to be like so careful about how you treat people. Not even necessarily because, oh, you don't know who they're going to become one day. Like, regardless of whoever they become, just treat people with respect.
Definitely.
You know, just be nice to people. But even more so, this is why I will never change how I am. I will never feed into the ego or become full of myself. I will always and forever be humble, because at the end of the day, I was humble then, I'm humble now, and I'm still looking at these people eye to eye, you know. So it just goes to show you can actually be humble and still get to the position of power, you know.
Oh my gosh, we say this to each other all the time. Do you think, okay, we find that a lot of bad people have good things happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, to be successful, must we be wicked?
Wow. Yeah. The straight answer to that. Huh. Okay, wait. That's actually a really good question, a layered question, yeah? Mm. I personally feel like in order to get to like the top of the top, like the 2% of the billionaires in the world, them man there, you got to be wicked. You have to do some sort of wickedness, I personally feel like, because that level of wealth is just...
insane.
You know, it's insane. Yeah. Like, it's insane. So, yeah, I feel like with that, yes, you do have to be wicked. But I feel like when it comes to being... And success is also subjective as well, you know. What you deem as successful is different to what I deem as successful is different to the next person. So that's also a thing too. But I don't feel like in the grand scheme of things, I'm going to use myself as an example, I have to be wicked to get to a level of success. Because to me, success is not being in the top 2% of the billionaires in the world, you know. To me, you know.
Yeah.
So it's subjective. But I feel like, just to touch on the point of like, it seems like a lot of bad people in the world get good things, right? That's true. I can't dispute that point. It's true, isn't it? Bad people get good things in this life. But my mom always used to tell me something, right? In life, your spirit is what resonates with people, right? That's the thing that people are actually left feeling. So like, after I leave this room right now, yes, we would have had a great conversation, but it's like, the energy I brought to you is what you're going to remember of me, right? that is what actually drives us in life. We are bodies, but inside our bodies is our soul, is our spirit, the actual thing. Now, all these people that you're seeing that are bad, have bad spirits, are leaving bad, are leaving bad feelings with people, getting good things. Yeah, the good things are tangible, but what's intangible, what you can't measure, is what they may be dealing with in their own life as a result of the energy they are putting out in the world. True. You know, you don't know what people are dealing with once they go back home and they close the door and you're not seeing all the glitz and glam in the car and the money and the, you know, you don't know what people are dealing with. And I really feel like people that do bad, like genuinely do bad with what without a conscience and whatnot, I really feel like they do go through it in their own ways. I do. You know, it's an energy thing. So that's my personal belief.
Quick question. So like, on being, like, you're talking about being humble and being kind of like still having your ground, like still, you know, as an artist and a successful one and being in this space, and I'm sure you've been around different types of artists, how do you react, or how do you even feel when you see people who have lost it and they're like, nah, I'm gassed, I'm that guy, I'm that person, and they are rude to people or they just lose it completely? Because sometimes I see some celebs and I'm like, how have you lost it to this degree? I don't know if it's because they have people in their camp being like, yeah, you're that, you know, gassing them to oblivion. I don't
know. I'll be real with you. When I see people like that, I pray for them. I just pray for them, because I'll be real, being in the industry now myself, as humble as I am, it's very easy to cross that line, you know. It's very easy to cross that line because you're always surrounded by people that are gassing you up 24/7. They're telling you how amazing you are. Like, oh my gosh, you just, you know, it's like people can so easily get caught up in the ego of feeling like, wow, I'm really that person. All these people really revere me and look up to me. Like, people get nervous in my presence. Wow. Like, it's a deeper thing, you know. And if you don't know why you have started doing this, if you don't have a grounded and rooted reason, of course you're going to get lost in all of that.
Yeah. Because you know? James Corden, I know Jazz does not like James.
But why?
A lot of people don't.
I don't really know too much about him.
Something about him gives me the heebie-jeebies. Yeah, you know, like there's, I feel it's a really strong feeling. And Fair Vic enough. Always sends me videos. Whenever she sees clips of me being validated, she will send it to me. And I'm like, I know.
There was a recent one, where he was talking to someone. I think that Jay, you know that Jay guy, I can't remember his name. He used to be a Buddhist or a monk. I can't remember. But he did an interview and he was basically like, yeah, like imagine going to work every single day and there's a massive picture of you on the wall. Like you would feel like you're the best person. I was like, nobody, and the thing is, it's like what you're saying, it's like no one can really say to him, listen, cool down, we're all humans at the end of the day. If an earthquake happened, the earthquake is not going to be like, oh my god, James Corden, we're going to, everybody calm down, we're all humans. Yes, you're a billionaire, but we're all humans. It's so scary when I see that.
Power trips, man. Power trips.
Damn. All right, let's get into knowing Shay a bit better outside of music. What are you watching at the moment?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I haven't heard much about that.
I've heard that's really good, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it surprised me still. It surprised me. But I'm not actually that surprised because I also watched Donald Glover's other thing that he had with Rihanna. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, Guava Island?
Island. And like, I found him to be quite good in that. But yeah, he's really good in Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Like, it's really, I'm enjoying it. A lot of plot twists.
Do you like a bit of trashy TV as well? Like Love is Blind?
I don't watch Love is Blind, you know. Really? I don't watch. My sister does. She's always like, you need to watch it. Maybe I'll get into it at some point. I don't really watch any trash TV, man.
You're good.
I actually don't. The other day I was getting my hair done and she had on, what does she have on? It's called Baddies or something.
That's trash. Baddies. That's trash.
I was like, what is this? What is this? Like, it was basically a competition where people are flown in from all around the world. Lani Good compete to be a baddie.
Do you know what? Yeah, great. Lani Good. I actually think she's a really, really good entrepreneur. Like, because she's so smart. I knew that when she was going to charge people that, people would pay. She's such a genius.
Got to do what you got to do, you know. But I was just like, wow, this is something.
Yeah. So talk to us. What was? Because I was thinking, should I pay? I was like, nah.
What?
The show, because you have to pay for it to watch the band.
Was this the UK one or the US one?
The UK one. There's a US one called Baddies East.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Guys, I don't know what was going on in that place, man. But it's just like people would just start randomly scrapping and fighting each other. You've got wigs flying here and there. I said, this is what you flew from your hometown to come and do.
No storyline, just fists. That's
but
it. Wow.
Obviously, each to their own. You know, everybody has different circumstances. But damn. Like, damn. For you to catch a plane ticket.
But that kind of seems what America is like. Yeah. It just seems like it's the American dream is there for everybody.
It's true. And they're a lot more like bold and like about it. So I feel you. It's very different to the UK for sure.
Yeah.
What music are you listening to?
Listening to a lot of Destin Conrad right now. He's just been in my rotation a lot. Like, he's got bops, he's got vibes. Who else am I playing right now? Yusuf Days. I have his most recent project, Black Classical Music. Like, that just kind of stays on repeat. Who else am I listening to? Madison Ryan Ward. Madison Ryan Ward has like a project she put out most recently. It's actually marketed as a gospel project, but like, it's so relatable. It doesn't feel like it's boxed into gospel per se. However, the lyrical content is definitely very uplifting. And like, so yeah, I would say that's what's been in my rotation recently.
Nice. And do you have any festivals coming up that you want to tell people about?
Yeah, I do actually. So, well, I mean, I can tell you about it, but right now the like date I think is still being confirmed.
Okay. Yeah.
But we still have a bit of time. So Great Escape, I'm going to be headlining DJ Ace's Everything R&B stage.
Oh,
and
nice.
That's either going to be on the 16th or the 17th of May, one of them. But they're still trying to figure out the dates with that. So yeah, just keep an eye out for that one.
Do you want to help us get into some dilemmas before we jet off?
Yeah. I love this kind of stuff.
Let's go. Let's see if we can wheel one up.
So people just send in their dilemmas?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's actually quite precious. Like, wow, you really trust our
this
advice.
Is what I'm saying. I love that kind of stuff.
My boyfriend is really ambitious and wants to be a big architect. Hope I said that right. Architect?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when there's deadlines, he's working till 10 till like 10 p.m. Sometimes even 3-4 in the morning. 3-4 in the morning. What time is he gonna work up for work? I obviously tell him it's insane. And so does his co-workers and family. Sorry, if your co-workers are telling you, it's
3:40 in the morning.
Do I just deal with it because it's his dream? Oh, bless you.
Wait, I'm confused though. It jumped from sometimes he finishes at 10 to then 3:40.
She says sometimes, yeah.
So but how does it jump from him finishing at 10 to...
Oh, she said he can work till 10 p.m. and sometimes it can even go up in the morning to like 3-4 in the morning. Yeah.
Okay, as an architecture, what do you do? You're drawing buildings, right?
And you'd probably have to like maybe work with engineers to kind of be like, is this a safety thing? Can we actually possibly do this?
I want you guys to answer first.
Why?
Do
you think he's got a secret life?
Do you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not even mad at it. Like, I definitely get
the hunger.
So funny.
Okay.
No, I get. I'm just a very skeptical person when it comes to them things as well. Mm. So it's like, yeah, I would definitely be a little bit skeptical. But I think it's hard to give advice on that because you have to just know the kind of man that you have as well. Mm. Like, and I think she has to know herself. It's just like, if it's not something she can cope with or deal with, as difficult as the decision may be, like, you're going to have to sit with that and actually just, you know, come to terms with how you feel about that for real. Otherwise, you're forever just going to be unhappy.
And waiting for him to finish work.
Basically. So, yeah, that's what I would say. Just, like, really sit with yourself and see how you feel about that. And if you can actually cope with it, because... that's what he actually has to do. And he actually does have to be out till 3:40, just assuming, giving him the benefit of the doubt. Then, yeah.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Sorry. Shoot me if you must.
God forbid.
But not even doctors.
Yeah, not even doctors finish say that.
6 hours.
Yeah.
7 hours.
After their shift.
Is due to finish. I just, I don't know. And if the co-workers as well are saying you're doing a lot, then it seems like maybe
she should ask to see his phone one day randomly. She should just be like, babe, can I?
Yeah, you need to do a little bit of snooping.
Like, okay,
just a small investigation. Nothing big, nothing major.
I'm actually not the snoopy girlfriend. I'm chill, yeah. Mm. But when them kind of things start happening, you're coming home at 3:40 a.m. when work's supposed to finish at 10. I'm gonna catch you off guard at some point and ask you what's going on. And then once everything's calm and I'm like, oh, cool, I can chill, I can relax. But you can't be too naive of these things sometimes, man.
Because 3 a.m. that means you've done 2 work days in one. And also, I can understand maybe like you're like overworked at work, and then you're like, you've come home from work and you're like, oh, babe, I need to work more. And I can see with my eyes, I can see the laptop and I can see the architectural buildings.
Yeah.
But if you're coming, how do you even get home?
Actually coming home at 3:40. Yeah.
I need to see the buildings.
Like, there must be an alternative. You must be able to like compromise somehow, come home and finish the work up something.
Because is the office building open at 3 a.m.? The security is gone home.
You're asking valid questions right now.
Now, babe, do small investigation. Even if you're not looking through the phone, just do small things like check his office building, check the opening time.
Or even say, do you want me to pick you up? Just something. I'm outside your office. I'm here to pick you up.
Mess up.
I'm so done. This is actually
mess up. Let's get into another one. My boyfriend has a child, 6 years old, from a previous relationship. Him and his ex still share a streaming service such as Netflix. He says it's because it's cheaper to share, because the child uses it. It bothers me and I still feel like it's unnecessary closeness between him and his ex. Am I overthinking it?
You're overthinking it, babe.
Yeah.
You're overthinking it, babe.
Because I'm sure you're using the Netflix account too.
You get what I mean? Like, it's a Netflix account. Come on. What are they going to be doing? Sexting through Netflix? Yeah.
I think be in peril because of a Netflix or streaming account is a bit much. But equally, you could argue, is it that deep to pay the $7.99 a month? Is it even allowed?
What do you mean?
What's it called? To share accounts.
He might have the tier, the two.
The family
homes.
Account.
Yeah.
Oh.
He might be paying for the big boy. So everybody can stream it. You don't know because his ex might have a partner. He's enjoying it, or she's enjoying it too.
Yeah.
Everybody's enjoying it on him. The baby's because one could argue that the baby needs that continuity.
Well, the baby needs to know that episode 2 has finished and he's going
when he comes to mom's house, when he comes to dad's house.
Okay.
He's still
at
the same point. He doesn't want this episode from the beginning.
Okay.
That's fair enough.
No, come on.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And you two, do you know what? I think you should just see it as at least the Netflix is paid off. Let me watch my Grey's. Actually, no, you can't watch it yet. You have to watch it on Disney. Let me watch my shows.
Yeah. Love is Blind.
You too.
Yeah, it's true.
Watch your shows.
It's true.
Mm. I like Shay said, there's no messaging box on Netflix. If there was, I would question it.
Mm. Yeah. It's honestly true. Me too, man. It's so sad that we really have to like pay attention to all these tiny little things, but ciao.
Yeah.
The streets are
there's
dangerous.
There's so many extra layers, man. Yeah, so many extra layers too.
Yeah. Let it go, ciao. Let it go. You'll be fine, hon. Okay. Bless. How do I deal with anxiety about going to podcast live shows or similar events on my own? That's an interesting question. I've been to events by myself. How do I deal with like nervousness around that? Well, it depends on my mood. One time I went to a concert, I was on my period and I feel really bad. I've said it on the pod. Someone was trying to talk to me. I was just like, like I can't force convo right now. But you just have to own it and be like, I'm gonna be in my jacks and enjoy the artist. Like I love sometimes just going to artists. Like I saw Bree Runway by myself and I was like right at the front because I was like, I could bring my friends, but I was just like, I don't want them to feel like, I don't think they're into it as I am. And you can just have that immersive experience and enjoy it. You just feel like it's you and the artist. And then it gets to a point where you're kind of like singing along with the people next to you.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that bad. But podcast live shows, you probably, if you're keen to meet people, trust me, people will seek you out and you will seek people out. Make sure you're being a busybody though. So go into the bars.
Yeah.
Be around. Make yourself, you know, socialize, if you will.
Yeah. And I think the good thing about stuff like that is that you're around people that are similar minded.
Yeah.
So you will find, you know, people that of kind of your vibe. Mm. So yeah, I wouldn't worry.
And I think Jazz always says this, sometimes for podcast live shows, people do make a hashtag for people going alone.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think people do that for artists as well. Like they'll be like, oh, is anyone going to so-and-so by themselves? Mm. So like hit them up.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Do you do you know of much people going to like your shows alone or anything?
Many
like
people
that?
Come to my shows alone, actually. Wow. But I mean, sometimes it's people I know, sometimes it's people I don't know. I don't really know how to advise that because I really don't mind going places by myself. I kind of like it sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's just owning that, like, yeah, I'm by myself and there's nothing wrong with that. And not seeing, I remember one girl said to me once, she was like, I always see you shopping by yourself.
Damn. But I think, isn't that normal? I thought shopping by yourself was normal.
Since she said that, sometimes when I'm shopping, I'm like, are people watching me going, ah, this girl's really alone.
I thought that was a normal thing, I'll be real.
Yeah, so did I.
Go shopping by yourself.
I really thought it was. Sometimes it's even a better experience.
It really is. Because you don't want, yeah, it's like you could go with your friend, but she's like, oh, let me just, now I could just try on every single thing. Because I have this thought process where I don't even, when I was younger, I used to think, if I go shopping with my friend, what if they think this thing I picked out is funny? And they don't want to say. But yeah, I finish shopping alone. It's bliss. Like, you can just try it on, take your time. You're not thinking, oh, is this person waiting on me? Am I waiting on them? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's even get into one more before we jet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bless. I'm losing the will with job rejections after job rejections, trying to push through positivity. And I don't know why things aren't working out. It's so hard to be happy for others at the moment, reaching milestones and celebrating their accomplishments.
Oh, wow.
Damn. I think when you're in a dark place or you're in negativity, it's really hard to like see the light or see positivity on the horizon. But it will always happen. Like, the story's not done yet, basically. And I don't know how to say this, but like, you have to dig deep to celebrate others, even in your like hard times. Like, because sometimes when people say, oh, I can't celebrate people right now, I'm like, I don't know if it's because I can't relate, but yeah, I can't relate. If I'm going to be honest, I have to like dig deep to be like, okay, this person needs me right now. It's their baby shower or whatever it is. Let me just, maybe I can't be social in that aspect, but let me send something to their house or let me think about their due dates. How can I, maybe I can drop over some jollof rice. Maybe I can send over a tasty voucher. Just those little things just to show people you're present. But if you're kind of like, okay, I'm just going to be present when I'm better. Sometimes, especially if you don't communicate that with people, they may think, fuck, she ain't fucking with me. Or then this is what I say to Jazz. Some people might say, ah, she's jealous. There we go. So just make sure you're communicating, I'd say.
Yeah.
And also, I think as well, if that's how you're feeling, sometimes it's actually best to just try and stay off social media for a bit or take like a social media break. Because, yes, I agree with you. You know, in that time, just dig deep and everything like that. But also a lot of things on social media are performative, you know, it's just like performative anyway. So it's not even really like, oh, this is even something worth you feeling bad about in yourself, but you're constantly fed with it every second, seeing this or that or that. So yeah, I think sometimes taking a break from social media is good when you're feeling like that as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I think as well, just to add, just recognize that you're not alone. Like, there's a lot of people going through similar things to you, like job rejections. Like, it's a really tough market out there right now. Like, we're going through a global recession, in fact. So, like, it's hard to find a job. There's a load of rejections going around. And also, just in general, the world we're living in right now is not in the best state. Like, it's very, very normal to feel horrible. And yeah, I guess as well, don't be afraid to reach out for help. Like, if you need help that's a bit more professional, 100% go for it.
Exactly. And sometimes you don't know how your friends can help you with like job rejection, with advice with getting a job. Your friend might be able to be like, oh shit, yeah, I'm good at job interviews. Like, some people are like, I fucking nail job interviews. I find those people like, fucking hell, like, how is that your thing? But some people, they can really give you the tea, how to win people over, how to appear more confident. Or like, I know on TikTok people are saying that there's little things you can do. Like, let's say you have a job interview on Zoom, you can put the notes on the screen. Or sometimes you can even just like minimize the Zoom so you're not actually seeing people's faces. Sometimes that can put people off. There's many, just make sure you're being honest with your friends because they may be able to help you in ways that you probably didn't even think about. Or they may even be able to connect you with someone. So yeah, just try and be vocal. I know it's very, very hard. But yeah, we're sending you good vibes and blessings.
Yeah. Righty. Yeah, we've come to the end of the show. So Shay, thank you so, so, so much for taking the time out and coming here.
Thank you, guys.
Please tell people where they can find your new album. Just reiterate, Love Letters, where they can find it, where they can stream it, and where they can find you as well on socials.
Yes, so my name is Shay Universe. I really hope you have enjoyed this. If you want to listen to my latest album, it's called Love's Letter. It's available everywhere right now: Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Deezer.
Oh, Tidal, Jay-Z.
Yeah, Amazon Music. It's available everywhere. And if you want to follow me, if you want to follow my journey, please do. You can find me at Shay's Universe on all my socials: TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and that is S-H-A-E-S followed by Universe. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a lovely week, guys. You know where to catch us.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.